Welcome to the Recency Belief Podcast with Daniel White III. My name is Danae Mary Louise White, and I am the third oldest daughter of Daniel White III. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White III equips Christians to stand firm in their faith and offers unbelievers a recency belief.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Reasons to Believe podcast, episode number 214. My name is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. Our Reasons to Believe scripture passage for today is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It reads, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Beloved, our reasons to believe quote for today is from Dr. Andy Nocelli. He said, God didn't dictate the whole Bible the way an executive mechanically dictates letters to his secretary. The human author's personalities are like musical instruments. If I play the same tune on a number of wind instruments, each will sound different, even if I play the exact melody in the same key, and even though it's all coming from the same breath, mine. Pardon me. If I play Amazing Grace on a tuba, baritone, trombone, French horn, trumpet, oboe, clarinet, and flute, it is all Andy breathed or Andy produced, but it goes through the personality of the instrument. In one sense, that's how God produced the Holy Bible, through human authors. Today, beloved, we are continuing the topic of Holy Scripture, its inerrancy, infallibility, and inspiration, using our God-breathed book, the Bible, the verbally inspired, eternal, inerrant Word of God by Dr. John R. Rice. Pardon me, founder and editor of the Sword of the Lord. And evangelists. Our Reasons to Believe PowerPoint today comes from chapter 3. The Bible claims to be the inspired Word of God, part 7. Big number 6. Paul's gospel received not from men, but from God. Paul affirms in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, that the gospel he preached, he did not receive from men. He was not taught it by the other apostles, but he is inspired to write, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then following, it tells how he did not consult any of the apostles or others who had known Jesus about the gospel he preached, until years after he had been preaching. And he found then that God had given him directly from heaven the same gospel which the other apostles who had been with Jesus had preached. He neither received it of man, he said, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Thus we learn clearly that the gospel, and hence the Bible, originated with God and not with man. It is God's holy word. The Thessalonian Christians and others who were saved on Paul's missionary journeys were taught by Paul and then received the epistles from Paul. And Paul's preaching and teaching and the epistles he wrote are now part of our Bible. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul writes these Christians, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." What Paul had preached to them and what he wrote in the epistles was not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. And the results of the teaching and preaching of that word were the results of a supernatural gospel. The Bible does clearly claim to be the Word of God. Dr. Charles H. Spurgeon, in his sermon on the Bible, says, "First, then, concerning this book, who is the author? The text says that it is God. I have written to him the great things of my law. Here lies my Bible. Who wrote it? I open it and find it consists of a series of tracts. The first five tracts were written by a man called Moses. I turn on and I find others. Sometimes I see David is the penman. At other times, Solomon. Here I read Micah, then Amos, then Hosea. As I turn further on to the more luminous pages of the New Testament, I see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Paul, Peter, James, and others. But when I shut up the book, I ask myself, who is the author of it? Do these men jointly claim the authorship? Are they the compositors of this massive volume? Do they between themselves divide the honor? Our holy religion answers no. This volume is the writing of the living God. Each letter was penned with an almighty finger. Each word in it dropped from the everlasting lips. Each sentence was dictated by the Holy Spirit. albeit that Moses was employed to write his histories with his fiery pen. God guided that pen. It may be that David touched his harp and let sweet psalms of melody drop from his fingers, but God moved his hands over the living strings of his golden harp. It may be that Solomon sang canticles of love or gave forth words of consummate wisdom, but God directed his lips and made the preacher eloquent. If I follow the thundering Nahum, when his horses plow the waters of Habakkuk, when he sees the tents of Cushan in affliction, if I read Malachi, when the earth is burning like an oven, if I turn to the smooth pages of John, who tells of love, or the rugged, fiery chapters of Peter, who speaks of fire devouring God's enemies, if I turn to Jude, who launches forth anathemas upon the foes of God, everywhere I find God speaking. It is God's voice, not man's. The words are God's words, the words of the eternal, the invisible, the almighty, the Jehovah of this earth. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this Bible is God's Bible, and when I see it, I seem to hear a voice springing up from it, saying, I am the book of God. Man, read me. I am God's writing. Open my leaf, for I was penned by God. Read it, for I was penned by God. Read it, for he is my author, and you will see him visible and manifest everywhere in it. I have written to him the great things of my law. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue this topic and more in our next episode. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And Lord, we thank you for writing it for us. And we pray that you will help us to take heed to it, to love it, to cherish it, to obey it, and to live by it, and to share it with others, and to preach and proclaim your holy gospel from it. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you are listening today and you have never trusted this Jesus, please know that Jesus loves not only me, Jesus loves you. And if you want to be saved by Jesus today, here is how. Believe in God the Father, believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins. He shed his blood for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. What a great deal. Until next time, my beloved, please keep in mind these reasons to believe. God bless you.